are particular saints in this place that are set out as models for us, as helps to us. And that is why some of these older saints live a long time. They're meant for us to look at. They're meant for us to study. And that's why Simeon's so important. The Lord puts these saints in front of us by grace and essentially observe their righteousness. Study them. That was always his intention in leaving. And some of the dear old saints live a long time and wonder why. I'm telling you now why. Because my priorities and our generation's priorities are not often very good.
It is marvelous that God leaves us these examples to follow. And we're looking at one today in the life of Simeon here in the book of Luke. It's an amazing story, one of my personal favorites. Watching for the Lord's return. Join us, won't you? This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35.
The Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35 this morning. And then on Christmas Day, I have planned to take up the next emphasis here. Luke does things in pairs. So he has Simeon and then he has Anna right after. And I've never really considered Anna. So we will consider Anna on Christmas Day. This morning I'd like to look another fresh look at Simeon. So this is Luke 2, verse 25 through 35. This is the word of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there ends the reading of God's word. Well, one of the beautiful things to look at as we come to this season, and there are all sorts of Christmas messages being preached, is to consider some of the highlights and spotlights that the Lord gives us when we look at certain figures in the Scripture at the coming of the Savior. They really do help us in many ways to understand what a waiting people and a people who are watching for the Lord's coming, what they look like. You think of these Psalms that we have said and we have sung for all of these years, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord, I say. Wait. That's, for some people, a long wait and a struggle, isn't it, in this life of waiting on him, and we wonder, is the Lord ever going to answer us? The Revelation calls this the patient wait of the saints. That's important. That the Lord calls us to be patiently waiting as a people. You think of other verses such as what James says, Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you've suffered a little while, shall himself perfect, strengthen, and establish you. Those are the wonderful promises of those to those who wait. Do you feel a longing, though, at times for this all to end? I think that's a really important question to ask in light of this. Do you feel the longing ever for all of this to end? Do you ever say, enough is enough? I saw blasphemous things this week of a Netflix series that is just attacking our Savior with every kind of perversity that you could do in this life, saying harsh things about him, attributing harsh things to him. You say enough is enough. When do you say it? Do you ever say it? Are you tired of the hate? Are you tired of the separation, the division, the misery, the darkness? That's all bad enough, but I think most of all, are you sick of sin? Are you weary of the fight? Are you tired of the what seems to be little progress? It's really, there does come a point in the Christian life that we get here. Some are not there yet, but we move there. Maturity moves us there. Christian maturity moves us there in great ways. And the release from all of this begins to be really welcomed. The release begins to be really welcomed. And that's the point at which the Lord is working and the Lord desires to bring us to in this life. I don't know if we think enough about this. That's why most of us are very uneasy in this life. That's why most of you face a lot of conflict in your life. That's why most of you face a lot of pain in your life. Because the Lord is not less letting you rest well here. And we always are praying that the Lord would take it all away. And we're always praying that the Lord would make it better. So that we would coast into heaven on couches, right? Well, the Lord is bringing us to this kind of place in life. This is His work. That's why if you're a believer, you'll never really rest very easy in this life. He may give His beloved sleep. You may get good night sleeps, but tomorrow comes a new set of problems, doesn't it? This is why I love studying Simeon. I think Simeon is so incredibly helpful for us. He is just a special case in the birth narratives here, a gift himself for us to study and see what being ready for the Lord looks like. And that's kind of the theme today. I thought at this time of year, it's always good to put together these themes, the first coming and the second coming, and we'll do that tonight. But in this way, Simeon really does apply to both situations. Simeon is incredibly helpful for us, and I want you to see that as here we're going to look at his wait, his patient wait, his release, and then his prophecy that he gives. I'm spending a lot of time on the first point since I believe sermons are meant to be exercises in teaching you how to wait. Should be laughing at that. The waiting is important here. Very important. In verse 25, we read that there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And that this man was just, you'll notice there, it says, and devout. This man was righteous and devout. This is meant for you to understand that just as you read it. There's no need of explaining that away. He is represented as an upright saint before the Lord. He is represented as one who put the Lord first in life. He is represented as one who, yes, is a sinner. That's not the issue that we're dealing with right now. One who shows us priorities. And it's meant to be a massive encouragement to us. It's meant to have the effect of he and Anna, wow, I would love to aspire to be like both of them in the temple day and night praying. And we'll look at that on Christmas Day. There are many saints in the scriptures that are put before us like this. In fact, Paul told us even in the life of the church, in the life of the Escondido URC, you should look at life this way. You should look at saints like this. He said, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So that means there are particular saints in this place that are set out as models for us, as helps to us, whom the Lord has greatly progressed in this life in sanctification, whom the Lord has really helped in this life in sanctification. And that is why some of these older saints live a long time. They're meant for us to look at. They're meant for us to study. It doesn't have to just be an older person. It's maturity in the faith. And that's why Simeon's so important. The Lord puts these saints in front of us by grace and essentially observe their righteousness. Observe it. Study them. Look at them. They're helps to you. That was always his intention in leaving. And some of the dear old saints live a long time and wonder why. I'm telling you now why. Because my priorities and our generation's priorities are not often very good. Well, one of the great shining figures in this way is Simeon. Great help to us. We hear here that the Holy Spirit himself had enlightened Simeon. The Holy Spirit had done something for Simeon. He was an object of the Spirit's work in stirring up his heart. And what you'll notice that it says is that the Spirit had revealed to him that he would not taste death until the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. So what we read is that he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. What makes him so interesting is, and this is also part of the great encouragement here, is that this is not most likely a royal figure. This is not a great figure. This is what we would consider a layman in Israel. The faithful churchgoer who comes up to the house of the Lord with Bible in hand every week, who doesn't seem very great, who doesn't seem very observed, who seems to be a nobody. The text tells us that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. I don't think you can overlook that statement. It's a wonderful little statement. Simeon helps us because, especially when you know the background and have a little bit of history here, that there was this period between the Old and the New Testaments, this period of time of what everyone knows was the silent period. The period when the Lord didn't seem to be doing much. The period when the Lord didn't seem to be speaking very much. The period when generation after generation after generation, it seemed that the Lord was no longer there. And the people did not hear from him. And great darkness had fallen on the people. That's what we read. I was going to read Isaiah 60, I read 61, but that's what Isaiah 60 says. Great darkness had fallen on the people before this light came. Now, most scholars recognize that there was a sort of Messiah consciousness at this time, that people thought and anticipated the coming in Israel of the Messiah, but the expectations were all wrong. Oh, sure, there was messianic expectation. In other words, their expectations of a great political leader who would come and help them and rescue them and save them from Rome. This is important for us because what that produced was a coldness of expectation for the Messiah to come and do what the Old Testament said he would do. Deliver them from their sins. Deliver them from their sins. That was absent from them. Political restoration was all they talked about. And I think you see the connection today, don't you? I don't think you can miss the connection today. As we wait for the second coming, we are so concerned about political repair. That's all we ever talk about. That's all that's on our hearts and minds is political repair in this country. We expect a remedy for this. And I tell you what, I've never seen more experts on this ever than in our day. We talk more about President Trump than Jesus. Did you know that? Christians. On both sides of wherever you are. Christians have been caught up in wrong looking. We are more emotionally wound up right now about the restoration of the U.S. than we are about the second coming of Jesus. And shame on us for it. And yet how dark things are. How dark things are right now. Look at the evil. Look at the darkness. What concerns us most? Look at the state of the church. Look at the state of the culture. Jesus said, before he comes, because lawlessness will be so normalized, many people's love will grow cold. They're not watching. They're not waiting. And yet we feel the same thing. Where is God? Where is he? He seems to be hiding right now. He seems to be completely absent right now from all of this. He doesn't seem to be answering much prayer, does he? And it really does feel like the church is being overrun and overcome with a bunch of people who don't care anymore. Have we given up? Have we stopped looking? Have we stopped anticipating? So I think all this challenges us with that, don't you think? Very much so. Are we really looking for Christ to come in eager anticipation and expectation that he's going to come and he's going to make all this good? To put an end to the sorrows and sadnesses that we're all experiencing. You realize how alike the situations are in comparison. We need some Simeons. We need some Simeons. Now, this is the environment. That's a little bit of the history and a little bit of the context here. The Holy Spirit had set apart this layman to show you what true celebration of what we call Christmas, or true celebration of what we're truly waiting for, what it looks like and what we ought to aspire to. And this is beautiful in that word, in this way, because it says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The comfort is what that means. The scriptures had prophesied this. The scriptures had told this. In Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort, you my people, speak peace to Jerusalem. He will put away your sorrow and he will free you from your misery. What the Holy Spirit had shown him is that in his lifetime, this comfort would come. And that he would not taste death until he held this comfort, beheld it. And now you see, a little title of comfort or consolation of Israel is really a title for Jesus himself. It's a title of comfort. This was God's answer to the problem of the misery that we're in. This is God's answer to the pain and the suffering and the darkness that has invaded our world and our hearts. Simeon, said the Spirit, you will not taste death until you see and behold the comfort of Israel. So Simeon here is set before us in this special way to be this waiting saint who through this life of tribulation and struggle wants release, is going to get release, and anticipating release. So this is what we have, and the Psalms always captured this for us when we sing something like, I have waited for the Lord more than they who watch for the morning. Here you see fulfillments of that. This is what it looks like, Psalm 130. So the burden and desire here, the burden of his heart, he was waiting for the day that the king would come upon the earth and the light would shine in the darkness, and he believed it. Revelation describes it as, here is the call for the patience of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Spirit saying that. He wanted comfort and he wanted release, this Simeon. You ever thought that ultimately that is exactly what we're waiting for right now? We are waiting for the Lord of glory to return in all of his radiance, in all of his power, and out of this period of darkness and silence, and come and make every injustice in this sad world right, and save all of his people, taking them to a place that he has promised will be a brand new earth. The apostle said it's so glorious, I can't even describe it. All wrongs will be made right. The unrighteous will be judged who've persecuted. Those who have trusted in Jesus will go to an immediate place of in the presence of God in the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness shall dwell. God promises you no more sin, no more tears, no more death, no more pain. You would think that if Christ has promised us that, churches would be full if we believed it. Prayer would be the single great reason we would come to church, really. To gather around and call out upon the name of the Lord and then receive his word. The Christian life is eager anticipating and waiting. It's a waiting life on the Lord to do what he said he would do. Understand that. The Christian life is this eager waiting upon the Lord, believing that he will do what he said he'll do. That's what the life of faith is. He has told you he is going to do wonderful things for you, and that full victory over sin and a brand new life. Alternative? Here's your alternative. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live your blessed life with no faith, for tomorrow you die. That's your alternative. And there's much more beyond death we'll look at. But here's the encouragement. We read in verse 26 that the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So Simeon comes by the Spirit into the temple, and the parents here have brought in the light of Israel. They brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. We read the most amazing, I think, scene presented to us in the Scriptures. A scene of difficult to even grasp. It's so beautiful. We read that in this grand scene, this all of these years of wait, probably a very old man here in the last years of life, waiting for his deliverer, he holds God incarnate in his arms.
Could you imagine? This scene has always fascinated me, that this man would hold in his arms the one who would hold his eternal life. It's just phenomenal. And the whole storyline is really quite amazing. To be able to say you dismiss your servant in peace, and we'll see more of that tomorrow, but to understand the significance of what this man was waiting for and his faith and trust in realizing he was holding the very thing he was longing for, and of course the significance for you and I today, is really just as profound. Well, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Well, tomorrow we'll continue our look at Simeon, and then Christmas Day we'll spend time looking at Anna here in the book of Luke. It is our hope and prayer that as we remember once again why we celebrate Christmas to begin with, that you come away with a fresh appreciation and a new understanding of the depths of God's love for you and I. We'll see you again tomorrow as our study in Luke continues for this Christmas season here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.